Jesus came to give us the good news that God loves us. Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least, you did it to me. If you give a glass of water in my name, you give it to me. If you receive a little child in my name, you receive me."
That was the voice of the late Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who dedicated her life to the poor, the sick, and the dying in India. Founder of the Missionaries of Charity Order, Blessed Mother Teresa was one of the world's best known and loved religious figures of the last century. Throughout her long life, she was revered for her holiness and her compassion towards the poorest of the poor, and was known as the Saint of the Gutters. She received numerous awards for her work, including the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. Mother Teresa died 10 years ago at the age of 87 and was beatified in 2003. Pope Benedict has said that even Mother Teresa suffered from the silence of God, despite her immense charity and faith. The Pope was referring to a new book containing a collection of her letters that reveals how Mother Teresa spent her last 50 years struggling with doubts about her faith and the existence of Jesus. Entitled Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light, the book is being published on Tuesday, September the 4th, on the eve of the 10th anniversary of her death. The book was edited and compiled by Father Brian Kolodejchuk, a Missionaries of Charity father who knew her for 20 years. He's also the postulator for her sainthood cause. Father Brian spoke to me about how these revelations about Mother Teresa's spiritual torment make her even more saintly and heroic.
Well, I think what this shows is actually a greater holiness than we thought before. I just heard yesterday there was a story of two priests discussing the book, and one said that, before he wasn't such a big fan of Mother Teresa because, he thought she was very pious and devoted, admirable work, but I think this book has revealed for him that there was a lot of a real depth and a story there that is much more than just someone who was perhaps seen as primarily pious and devout.
It's quite unusual, though, isn't it, for somebody like that to have doubts about her faith and the presence of God, doubts that go on for so long, for decades. Many people go through crises of faith, even the most devout, but this was a process that went on for most of her life.
Right. What I tried to present in the book, as the letters themselves show, is that for Mother Teresa, there was, as she said, her companion was darkness already as a Loreto sister. And this kind of dark night is normally seen as even a necessary part of spiritual growth, leading to real, deep, and profound union with Jesus. And then in Mother Teresa's case, what is rather rare, even among the saints, is that after experiencing this real intimate union in 46, 47, then this darkness was again back in her level of feelings. What is quite unique in Mother Teresa's case is that she had her union, after reaching this intimate union, rather than enjoying the consolation of this union, that she now lived her union as a form of Jesus' absence. So it's like at the same time a presence and an absence. For Mother Teresa, this was her way of being united with Jesus, and especially in his passion, in the anguish of the Garden of Gethsemane, the sense of his abandonment on the cross. And also, in Mother Teresa's case, this was part of her charism of serving or being identified with the poorest of the poor. She used to say, the greatest poverty is to feel unloved, unwanted, uncared for. And she was living that also in solidarity with, identified with, and in our Christian or Catholic understanding, in a sense, as well, carrying this burden for the sake of the poor.
Did you know that she suffered from these, should we say, these doubts, this feeling of this lack of a connection with God while she was alive, or did this only come to light after she died?
We only discovered these things as we collected the documents for the cause. These letters were thankfully preserved by the Jesuits in their archives in the Archbishop's house in Calcutta.
Were you very surprised by this discovery? Had you any inkling that she suffered like this?
Not at all. I think even the people closest to her, the sisters, had no idea. And as the book shows, that Mother Teresa very consciously chose, as she was going through this, she would write, "I want to be an apostle of joy." And, for example, she always had heard one of her kind of resolutions or encouraging us to take whatever he gives and give whatever he takes with a big smile. And it sounds nice. Okay, we surrender to God whatever his will is for us. But when you realize that that resolution was for herself forged in this pain, it shows that much greater depth and profundity, I think.
Mother Teresa, of course, asked that these very deeply personal letters that have been published in your book be destroyed after her death. What made you or others go against her wish, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I think as in the case of other people, I mean, just a more recent case comes to mind is John Paul II had asked for some things to be destroyed, and his secretary, Cardinal Jiwitsch, decided not to. And I think, as the book shows in the introduction, that the Jesuits themselves and the archbishops, they realized that this was not just Mother Teresa's personal experience, that especially in those early years, they had the understanding that these letters would be valuable for the congregation of the Missionaries of Charity. And then after, I think then we just, you know, that we realize that Mother's blessed and one day hopefully to be canonized, that in some way her experience is not only for the Missionaries of Charity, but also for the Church as well.
When it comes to this correspondence, these personal letters of hers, is there any particular letter or indeed a phrase from a letter that stands out in your mind that you can quote now that conveys the depth of her spiritual suffering?
Okay, yeah, there was part of the dynamic that she was going through was that even with her trusted advisors, the several, just a few priests who she shared it with, that at times she couldn't even open herself to them. She couldn't even speak. And so one of them, Father Picacci, suggested that she write directly to Jesus and see if it would be easier for her to write this down. So there's two of these kind of letters that were preserved. I mean, they're both very powerful letters. One of them, after describing interior pain, she spoke of a pain of loss, and then even more painful was this longing. Then she says, "In the call, you said that I would have to suffer much. 10 years, my Jesus, you have done to me according to your will. If my pain and suffering, my darkness and separation, gives you a drop of consolation, my own Jesus, do with me as you wish, as long as you wish, without a single glance at my feelings and pain. If my separation from you brings others to you, and in their love and company you find joy and pleasure, why, Jesus, I am willing with all my heart to suffer all that I suffer, not only now, but for all eternity."
So, in fact, as we've seen, in the end, she came to see that there was a purpose to this spiritual anguish, these doubts.
Well, yeah, there's a very direct connection between one and the other. So on one hand, Mother Teresa was living by pure faith and a great love, very passionately in love with Jesus, wanting to please him, wanting to give herself entirely to him. And at the same time, there was the sense of his absence, a sense that he was even rejecting her. And so the pain of it was the interplay with these two things. She accepted, if Jesus really wanted her to suffer this, even for all eternity, if that was possible, that she was willing to do so out of love for him.
Are you personally amazed by what she managed to accomplish during her life, given this spiritual suffering that she struggled with?
Well, she was admired for all of the work that she and the sisters did. But, you know, I think we would have thought that she was enjoying this great intimacy, at least that was kind of her consolation and support. And then we discover this, it makes her even more heroic that she was able to do this and live like this and to be cheerful and joyful, peaceful, serene. So even on a human level, it required a lot of human maturity to live this way and kind of integrate that interior pain and still carry on and do all she did from 4:40 in the morning until late at night.
And not just heroic, but many would argue indeed more saintly, because it was also very hard for her.
Yeah, it seems, and I think others, just the initial reaction to the book is that really, as Father Cantalamessa also said, that this darkness and these letters place her among the great saints.
Now, your book is called Come Be My Light. And this title, I know, is not chosen by chance, because it refers to her encounter with Jesus when she was riding on a train in India. Can you very, very briefly tell us more about that?
Actually, this Jesus call to Mother Teresa, "Come be my light," was given in a further locution sometime during the year 1947. Over several months, Jesus was speaking to her. And then there's another place in one of her letters, she says, "If my darkness brings light to others," or even the kind of what I call her mission statement, "If I ever become a saint, I'll be a saint of darkness. I will be absent from heaven, bringing the light to those living in darkness." So paradox and irony is that she was a light and she radiated and still can bring light to others, in her case, through her darkness.
How soon do you think it'll be before she's canonized? And what more have you been learning about her, perhaps that you didn't know before, since you began your investigations, you know, as the postulator?
Well, actually, we're still waiting to have a miracle that we can present to the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. So whenever that is, then we will do the first part of the inquiry in the diocese where it takes place, then present, bring it to the Congregation, whatever time it takes to do that. So exactly when, God has to do something first.
Finally, 10 years after Mother Teresa's death, what do you now believe is her most precious legacy?
Well, I think, you know, certainly the work of charity that she began and continues throughout the world by the Missionaries of Charity is certainly a principal legacy. But I think, as some commentators are already saying, that she really can be. Maybe she already had a sense way back in 62 when she said, you know, "If I ever become a saint, I will be a saint of darkness." So the darkness of unbelief for people, to help them to come back to the faith or remain faithful in their believing, as well as a darkness of feeling lonely, rejected, unloved. That in Mother Teresa, they have one. They have a saint who really experienced all of this, and so that she can really be a patron saint of those in whatever form of darkness they're living in.
And indeed, as you say, all this makes her a much more complex character than she was first thought to be, perhaps by many who didn't know her so well.
Absolutely correct.
I was talking there to Father Brian Kolodejczuk, a Missionaries of Charity father and director of the Mother Teresa Centre, and author of a new book about Mother Teresa.